This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. A new round of designs for Alamo Plaza turns the historic battlefield in Spanish Mission into an open space and pedestrian park. The busy urban square is in the heart of San Antonio. It will be expanded through a $500 million project to reimagine the Alamo and the visiting experience. Among the changes for review include the closure of traffic at three streets, Alamo, Crockett, and Houston. The proposal also calls for the demolition of some nearby buildings and also moving the cenotaph. There's also a gated structure that's proposed that would surround and cut off the public square and Alamo Plaza. What changes are coming for the Alamo? How can the public provide feedback in this planning process? How is this project being managed on the state and local levels? Give us a call. We want to hear from you. We really want to have a calm and civil conversation today as we talk about the Alamo. I don't know if you can do that, but we're going to try. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, and you can also email us at thesource@tpr.org. And tweet at us at TPR Source. We're joined this afternoon. We have Councilmember Roberto Trevino. He represents District 1 on the City Council. Also with us is Brian Preston. He's the Communications Director for the Texas General Land Office, and he's a member of the Alamo Master Plan Committee. And Vincent Michael joins us again. He's Executive Director of the San Antonio Conservation Society. And again, you are invited. The number 210-614-8980. And let's go to Roberto Trevino, council member for District 1. Last night, there was a rollout of this to the public, four public meetings. And Roberto Trevino, it seemed like you guys got an earful.
Yes, hi. Thank you for having me today. I want to mention that I also sit on the management committee and a tri-chair of the Citizens Advisory Committee as part of my role in this project. We did have a very engaged crowd last night. We are there to talk about where we stand in the current process of the project, and it was a lively discussion. But you know, we expect that there's a lot of passion for this project, and we certainly respect how people feel about that. Overall, we felt like it was a very good meeting. A lot of folks really learned a lot about some of the vision and guiding principles that we're following. And, of course, even some of the technical limitations and responsibilities we have to restore the church and Long Barrack, as well as to delineate the historic footprint.
Got an email from Blake Olson prior to the show giving his take on the meeting. He said, yesterday's meeting on the plaza is going to bring out the passionate people against it. For each of those people who showed up at the meeting, there are probably thousands like me who think most of all the things planned are good ideas and didn't see any point to going to the meeting to tell the planners that. The protest and moving the cenotaph are just, he called it, stupid. But if there were, some people feel very passionate about that, and that point of view is, you know, people, we need to hear that. But there are lots of point of views, but this email makes the point that the people who show up at meetings and who speak out tend to have a higher passion engagement than normal. And so, Brian Preston, you're with the General Land Office, and you're helping guide this process, lead this process. How do you balance that out?
Hi, David. First, just thanks for the opportunity to come on this morning or this afternoon and talk about this. We are engaged right now, as Councilman Trevino spoke to, a public engagement process that's both within San Antonio and statewide, because the Alamo, of course, is an icon for all of Texas and really all of the world. So we are balancing this as you might expect. We're listening to all sides and all voices in this and trying to sift through what they're all saying. And we know and knew going in that there was passion over the cenotaph. And I just want to assure folks right here, the cenotaph is always going to stand. And in fact, the proposal right now is for it to be relocated from one part of Alamo Plaza to another part of Alamo Plaza, just not very far away, and to a site that gives it more prominence and actually gives it an elevated purpose in the overall design and in the overall presentation of the Alamo. So while we all, of course, respect and honor the passion that people bring to this, the fears over the cenotaph really are misplaced, because the cenotaph is going to be treated with actually more respect than it's currently been treated, and it's going to be restored. And another point that's worth
when you say restored, what does that mean?
Well, it's currently damaged. It has been standing in the elements on the plaza for 78 years. And because of that, there are joints that are coming apart. There are cracks and there are fissures. And it has the damage that you would expect it to have after 78 years in the elements. So it needs repair, and it's going to get repair. We also know there's a metal structure inside, but we don't know the condition of that structure. So there needs to be an engineering study done, perhaps an endoscope sent in there to assess the condition of that structure and figure out exactly the extent of the repairs that are needed. There are seven names at least that need to be added to it. When it was finished in 1940, it was finished with 182 defenders' names on it. We know of 189 now. The last was discovered in 1986. So there are things that need to be done to the cenotaph, whether it stands where it currently stands or whether it's relocated to a little bit south.
Now, Vincent Michael, with the San Antonio Conservation Society, what is the Conservation Society's take on this, what the plans are right now?
Well, I would just like to point out, first of all, we supported the City Council's plan a year ago, which was to lower the grade, create a United Plaza, put the new museum in the three buildings, Crockett Palace and Woolworth, restore the chapel and Long Barracks. So we were very much strongly in support of that plan. The current plan, we basically have two issues with it. One is this proposal to potentially demolish some of the buildings. And as Brian and Councilman Trevino have said, this is still a process in discussion. So we're very much, and we've been on the record for 3 years, saying let's save those buildings. They're very significant to our history. They would create a great transition point, you know, from the reverence of the plaza into the new high-tech museum, as opposed to having some sort of stark modern facade there. And then I think the other issue that we have really is connectivity. How do you connect to the city? This is a public space. It's like the Piazza Navona in Rome. You know, it's a place where people gather. How do you maintain that continuity with the rest of the city?
So the Woolworth Building, which is on the corner of Houston, and that was a historically significant building because of it was the first in a lunch counter in the South that was integrated. Is that
yeah,
right?
It has a very important role in civil rights history. That Woolworth Building, built in 1921. Had the first peacefully and voluntarily integrated lunch counter in the South on March 16, 1960. This was shortly after the February protest in Greensboro, and there wasn't even a protest necessary. In San Antonio, they were like, we're going to embrace this.
So that's significant. That's, you know, and with the loss of that building, I mean, do you see that as something to be concerned about?
Yeah, we're concerned. That building is significant. And I think, you know, the interior of that building is largely gutted.
It's gone.
So one of the things we said when we were –
They turned it into like some sort of believe it or not type of museum
thing. Yeah, it's
thing.
Tomb Raider or something. Yeah. When we talked to the interpretive planners about it, we said, you know, there's a way to interpret both the west wall of the building and the lunch counter inside the building. I mean, it's sort of an open space. It's shaded. You know, you could do that interpretation within the building.
Right. Okay, so we're going to continue the conversation. We're going to take a break. Where phone lines are open, we want to hear what the public has to say. What are your concerns about the Alamo plan? What are you hoping for? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. We got an email from a Twitter from Garrett. I love what I'm hearing about the new plans for the Alamo. Visiting the mission should be like taking a step back through its history. But the question is, which history are we going to be exploring? Is preserving one angle of the history at the cost of others? Because there is so much history at that one location. We'll continue this conversation when we come back from the break. The number is 210-614-8980. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about the plans for Alamo Plaza. This is happening, folks. There's $500 million on the table to help reinvent the Alamo Plaza, reinvigorate it, restore it, and also recapture your imagination and the world's imagination. Coming to the Alamo, you should feel a sense of awe and a sense of respect. We should remember the defenders of the Alamo, but also for so many other things that happened at that location over the 300 years that San Antonio has been here. What do you think? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. Anthony is on the line. And Anthony, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. During the intro to the segment, you mentioned that leaving the grounds as is, the layout of the plaza as is not an option. I'd just like the panel to elaborate on why changes are necessary and leaving it as is not a viable solution.
Anthony, thank you for that great call. Roberto Trevino from District 1 City Council Member, you want to go with that first, and then we'll hear from Brian Preston.
Thank you. I think that's a great question, and that's part of what we're trying to do with this entire project. In following the vision and guiding principles, we want to make sure that we talk about all the different layers that exist on this site. And one of the things that is so important to note is the Alamo is a place and not a building. And to recapture that mission footprint is so important to tell the complete history. And, of course, just a minute ago, we were talking about the Woolworth Building and the amazing history that occurred there. And, of course, we use the terminology layers of history because we have seen all the layers that have existed and coexisted over the years to tell such a great history, vibrant history of San Antonio. That is why we want to delineate the mission footprint. We want to delineate all the history that has occurred in this site. It is part of following the vision and guiding principles.
But I'm going to go over to Brian Preston with the Texas General Land Office. As I understand it, that there are some necessary maintenance items that need to be done to the existing structures of the Alamo, and that is going to involve critical changes to the plaza in itself, right? Or else we're going to lose some important things.
Yes, that's very possible. As is, the site just has no integrity, for one thing. You have streets running right across that historic footprint, not just the 1836 footprint, but the footprint prior and since then. So we have to restore some sense of integrity and a sense of history. And it is at least a strong supposition that the traffic on Alamo Street is contributing to the deterioration of the church itself, because we have traffic that runs north and south on that street, which is running across the footprint and maybe rattling the church, maybe contributing to the deterioration
that we
see.
These are big trucks that are rumbling
through. Big trucks, big buses, big vehicles. And another thing you simply see there is you see folks who go to visit the Alamo and the Long Barrack first, of course, and they visit the exhibits and so forth, and then they want to check out the shops across the street, and they end up jaywalking and creating all kinds of safety issues on what ought to be sacred ground. That ground, about 1.89 acres, is ground upon which many people died fighting for what they believed in, and on the Texian and Tejano side, fighting for freedom. We need to honor that. And the current condition of the site simply does not honor that. I've walked that site many times with descendants of Alamo defenders and others who just want to understand the site. And currently, it is, in my opinion, the most difficult battlefield to read, certainly in North America, possibly in the world, because so much of it has been lost. So as Councilman Trevino said, we are looking to restore this footprint, restore this integrity to the site as much as possible. We know there are parts of it we cannot reclaim, the part under the federal building, for instance. Cannot be reclaimed. But we need to restore and recapture as much of it as we can.
And Vincent Michael with the San Antonio Conservation Society, can a case be made for it? Leave it alone.
Yeah, I think so, because as I said, you could interpret the wall inside the building. We were in favor of creating a singular plaza, but the idea is keep it a public plaza. You know,
right, but can anyone say grade. Just hands off, leave it alone, don't touch it, just leave it as it is? Is that an option?
The whole site.
Oh, no, because the buildings need restoration. The historic buildings, the Alamo Chapel, the Shrine, and the Long Barracks need restoration. The Cenotaph needs restoration. Having that as a single graded plaza would help the interpretation immensely.
Right. I've got these Goldbeck photos of Alamo Plaza that were taken. These are these really long panoramic photos. And you can see how it's changed over the years and over the years. And I have some similar for like the Zocalo and other locations around the world. And places are not static.
Right.
And they change according to the times and as people see them. And certainly the way we've interpreted and appreciate the Alamo has changed over the years. It's a lot different now than it was in the 70s. And the Alamo that we have now is really a reflection of what we thought was important in the 30s and in the 70s. I mean, can you react to that, Brian Preston?
Yeah, David, that's certainly the case. I've gone back and looked at photographs like you have of the Alamo in the past, and it seems to change fairly significantly about every 40 to 50 years. The Alamo that we see now when we go and stand on the battlefield or on the mission footprint, essentially a lot of that dates to the 1970s, the trees, for instance. The walls that go around back of the Alamo that look like period walls, those actually date some to the 1930s and some later. The plaza itself dates to later times, and the cenotaph dates to 1940. So a lot of what you see and think of as the Alamo you've grown up with has little resemblance to the mission footprint, the battlefield footprint. And in earlier times, preservation wasn't as highly prized as it is now, just as a value. And now we, I think, as a society, just wish to preserve our history a bit more. At least there are some of us who strive to do that. So part of this plan, a major part of this plan, is simply to preserve as much as currently exists, which is only two structures from the historic periods, and then reclaim as much as we can so that the story is better told. And that's part of this effort to lower the grade about 16 inches and to delineate the footprint, as Councilman Trevino talked about, so that folks do know when they're walking into that space, they're walking back into history. You can't know that now. There's no way to really comprehend that now.
Back to the phone lines. William has called in. And William, thanks for calling in, and you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. A lifetime San Antonio resident, and I was wondering, whichever redesign is created, what will be done to make it more accessible to San Antonians in terms of ease of parking and things of that nature, like what was done for the missions?
All right, William, thank you for the call. Roberto Trevino, you represent San Antonio, District 1 members specifically, but all the entire city. Is this something just for tourists?
No. In fact, it is the very first line of the vision and guiding principles. As part of the vision, is engage local residents and visitors in ways to personally connect to the Alamo area experience. We're working very hard to express that on site, but also how it connects to the rest of downtown. So this is part of our effort, and we think that we're creating a destination as well as a place that is where locals will want to visit, want to spend some time learn about their community, learn about their history, and instead of just passing through it as they do now. And so we think that this is an effort to help tell a much broader story, engage more of the community, and really help to create a plan that better connects all facets of downtown. I think it's so important to make the plaza very walkable and safe. It provides better placemaking.
And in fact,
we think that this is important as far as telling the story of how it connects back to the river, how it connects back to the city. And as the city has grown around it, this has been the issue, is that you no longer can see the connections back to Main Plaza, San Fernando Cathedral, and all the historic elements that are part of the Alamo story.
Brian Preston, you're with the Texas General Land Office. You're bringing a more statewide view of the Alamo master plan. So talk about that.
Sure. We've all seen, folks who've been around the Alamo story for very long or who have looked into it, have seen master plans come and go. This master plan...
Mostly go.
They come and then they kind of disappear. This is the first time we've had the state and the city working together on a master plan as a team, in the room together the entire time, formulating this plan, compromising, working with each other, hammering through all the issues that folks inside San Antonio see and then folks outside San Antonio see. So I would say, just taking a higher view of this for a minute, not so much down in the details, this is it. This is our once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get this right. There's probably not going to be another opportunity to do this when you're going to have the state and the city working so closely together as a team for the good of the Alamo.
And putting money in the pot.
The state has kicked in $106.5 million. The city's kicked in $37, $38 million. And then there's going to be the public fundraising that's going to kick in before too long. You just don't have this kind of momentum. We have not had this kind of momentum and this kind of teamwork gathered around the Alamo ever in our lifetimes. And like I said, this is it. This is our opportunity to do right by the Alamo, to do right by San Antonio, to do right by Texas and Texas history, and to create this destination that the Alamo has always deserved to be but has not always been. I think we'll see the area around the Alamo, this Plaza de Valero that we're proposing for the public speech and the public civic plaza part of this, the promenade that leads to the Alamo, the way the cenotaph is treated in this plan. We're going to see a site that is on a par with any major historical site in the world when we're done with this. So we cannot let this opportunity slip by.
An email from Rance. What's the problem with moving the cenotaph? Why do people care so much about moving it? Now, you know, the cenotaph in and of itself, I mean, that was controversial when it was conceived and was put there. J. Frank Dobie, he was, you know, basically invented Texas storytelling. He was a historian and an author, a celebrated individual, and he hated it. He just positively, and he railed against it. And he was on the planning committee and thought this thing should not exist. And so it was controversial from the get-go. Can you talk about that, Vincent Michael, about, you know, why the cenotaph? Do you think people just feel like it's sacred because they grew up with it being right there?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons. Some people have talked about the importance of the sculptor Pompeo Campini, who was very important in San Antonio history. It is one of the few items that interprets the history of that space now. You know, because it has the names of seven shy of the martyrs.
Right, and you can see it's an illustration of a battle up there. So,
right.
But as people feel like, but that location in and of itself, is that a particular location?
It's a cenotaph. Cenotaph does not mean you're on a specific location. It means you're memorializing the dead.
So, but essentially, Brian, this location is kind of arbitrary, right?
It is arbitrary. And just to be clear, there are folks who say the cenotaph it contains remains of defenders and that sort of thing.
Well, because in and of itself, its name is an empty tomb.
Empty tomb, exactly. So there are no, and never were, any remains of defenders in there. In that particular spot, as part of the master plan, we researched very, very deeply, in fact, more deeply than ever before, the Alamo as a site, the entire footprint, what was where at different periods of its history. And there's no historical basis for the cenotaph being located where it currently is. That place was available, and so it was placed on that spot. I believe they didn't want to block the view of the Alamo itself because the cenotaph at 60 feet tall is taller than the Alamo Church itself.
So you didn't want to block the dead-on view.
Right. So they moved it over to the northern edge or the northern part of the battlefield over more by the Long Barrack. But there is no historical basis for that particular spot, no.
Back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Maya, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say that the plan is absolutely visionary, futuristic, beautiful. I'm glad to see San Antonio moving in such a forward direction. And yes, go ahead with the plans. What better than to honor that site and make it be a world-class known site where the people of San Antonio can learn the history of San Antonio. So I love the plan. I think it's wonderful. And all the people, all the naysayers out there, it's just people that cannot embrace change and innovation. Change is sometimes scary for some people, but I love the program, and thank you for taking my call.
Maya, thank you for calling in. We appreciate hearing that point of view. That kind of goes back to that original email that we got from Blake saying people who go to meetings, like there was this meeting last night, a lot of people held signs, a lot of people were hooting and hollering and booing, saying they didn't like this, that, and the other thing, but these are people that have a stronger motivation. You don't really get to draw on the overall public feeling in a circumstance like that, I don't think. And there's more of these meetings being planned for San Antonio. There's one this evening at Hardberger Park Urban Ecology Center. That's on 8400 Northwest Military Drive. There's also one tomorrow at the Embassy Suites at Brooks, and then on the 21st, there's one at the San Antonio Garden Center on New Braunfels Avenue. Lots of opportunities for you to show up and make your opinions known to the people who are drawing up these plans. And you can also make your opinion known right now by giving us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're going to get into some of the details about the closing of the streets and a fence that could be going around Alamo Plaza. What's up with that? The Source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, and I'm talking about the most iconic location in Texas, one of the most iconic locations in the world. It's the Alamo in the heart of San Antonio. It defines San Antonio in so many ways. How should the Alamo be re-envisioned, reinvigorated, and preserved for future generations? We're talking about this afternoon. We want to hear what you want to see at the Alamo, not just talking about the battle. The battle is significant, but also there's so much more there. It was was a Spanish mission, and then for many years it was a very important public square for Texas and San Antonians, as we were able to use that to discuss the issues that shaped our community. The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. James has called in. James, welcome to The Source, sir. You're on the air.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, it's Gene, not James.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. I am calling because I am very concerned about, now that they're talking about tearing down the Woolworth building, and I find that the civil rights demonstration at the lunch counter in Woolworth is every bit as important as the Alamo ever hoped to be. This is national ramifications, and just because it was a peaceful demonstration, there doesn't seem to be proper respect giving to this. And I don't find that anybody in concern with the Alamo, renovation is adequately addressing that concern with preserving this lunch counter. And then also, I think it really needs to be scrutinized as they're shoving all this traffic over onto a two-lane path of La Jolla, as if somehow that is not going to kill downtown anybody wanting to come downtown, which is already a mess as it is since they amputated Main Plaza so that we can't get back and forth, and now they want to do this. So I'd like some serious discussion about those two topics.
Okay, let's talk about we'll talk about the lunch counter, and then we'll get to the traffic issue. So there's a lot of story to be told about the integration of the lunch counter at Woolworths, and we talk about it with being peaceful, but that's up to interpretation, because as that lunch counter had that photo op where they were integrating it, there was three fiery crosses that were burning in Travis Park. Two were burning, and one was soaked in gasoline, and the person didn't get a chance to light that one up, and there was threatening notes threatening shopkeepers in San Antonio to keep San Antonio segregated. So, I mean, it wasn't an easy decision to, integrate these counters, and how integrated they were is still a discussion to be had as we examine our history, but it did happen. And so Vincent Michael at the San Antonio Conservation Society, I mean, you're leading the fight to try to make sure these buildings stay, right?
Absolutely, as we have since 2015, since before the state completed the purchase of them. And again, I would emphasize that you can interpret all these layers of history with the buildings in place. We have the technology to do that. The buildings themselves, except for the Crockett Building, which has been proposed as an entrance to a new museum, these other buildings can be used to interpret that history. I think people need to know that San Antonio was out ahead. And as you said, it wasn't a very simple process. I mean, it was peaceful, but there was the threat of violence. And San Antonio doesn't really become integrated until we make another effort 8 years later during Hemisphere.
And so, Brian Preston, can you talk about, you're with the Director of Communications for the Texas General Land Office. I know there's nothing's been set in stone about the demolition of these buildings.
Right. It's all in the proposal stage at this point, and we're taking feedback. And we're aware of that history as well. That is very important history for San Antonio and for the entire South, as is the history across the street where the last stand was during the Battle of the Alamo. We have a number of, as Councilman Trevino alludes to, a number of layers of history that we are sorting through and are willing to interpret and open to interpret and happy to interpret. It's a question of how we do all of this and elevating which needs come first. And, of course, from the state and the statewide point of view, the Alamo's needs ultimately come first. That's a site that has been candidly not treated well over the centuries and that needs to be treated with the proper respect and for the reverence and honor to be restored to that historic footprint. So it's all a matter of how do we do this, and it's all a matter of what public feedback and public input we get, and sifting through all that and then coming up with the best plans that work best for the Alamo.
And District 1 City Council Member Roberto Trevino, what do you say?
Well, I just want to point out that we are committed to and have been committed to working with the Conservation Society since the project first got started. And we're committed to the preservation of these buildings as much as possible. In fact, what we presented to the Conservation Society was basically demonstrating that the lunch counter, we don't know much about where the lunch counter was. We're trying to figure out where that is. Get some more clarity about that history. But you're hearing it from me. We absolutely want to tell that story. That is part of the layers of the history of the site. It's an important piece of all these elements, and we're studying that and studying how we can make it happen. And to Vince's point, there's absolutely ways to do it. We're just trying to be very methodical, thoughtful about this process. We have some talented people working on this, and we want to take an approach that is considerate of the facts, considerate of evidence-based data that allows us to get there.
So to the other point that James brought to us is the traffic. Is this going to be a workable solution? You guys want to cut off which streets? What's the plan for traffic, Brian Preston?
Alamo and Houston primarily. Alamo from Commerce up north to about halfway up the Federal Building, the Hippolito Garcia, and Houston from La Soya across over past the Gallagher House.
And then there's also the Crockett, which goes around the backside.
Yeah, part of it.
Okay, and so how is that going to overall – are y'all developing – traffic flow studies?
We are. Pape Dawson here in town is working on that, and Councilman Trevino may want to speak more closely to that. I know one part of this proposal, it has to do with La Soya Street and turning it into a two-way street and widening it.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that because La Soya is kind of more of an alley than a street right now. Roberto Trevino?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're looking at widening La Soya Street, making it a two-way. And we currently are studying that proposal to see how that could work. We think it'll help to provide some north-south connectivity. It also adds to the master plan itself and how it connects some of the traditions that have long been held here in San Antonio, because we know things like the Battle of Flowers Parade, for example. We want to maintain that tradition. And so a solution with La Soya would help provide some options for that as an example. But the traffic component really needs to be looked at a much broader scale, which we are doing. And we're looking at all of downtown. We're looking at how the highway connects to the site. We're looking at other downtown streets to help provide and understand, again, what are the traffic patterns? How can we provide better access and connectivity to all of downtown, and of course as people are transitioning from one side of downtown to another. But I want to also point out that we're very much focused on the pedestrian mobility of this plan, and we think that is an important aspect of what we're trying to do, because that is providing some much needed pedestrian accessibility and mobility for all of downtown. And I think this is going to set a good example of the kinds of things we need to be planning for in the future.
So are you looking at Brian Preston from the GLO about how we expect the people to use downtown areas in the future?
Yes.
I mean, it's expected that there's going to be a great revolution in transportation, personal transportation, and so more pedestrian spaces are going to be desired.
Yes, downtowns in the future are probably going to have fewer cars on them for a variety of reasons. Changes in technology, changes in how we work, whether we commute to work or telecommute, that sort of thing. Ride sharing, automated cars, that sort of thing. So if you cast into the future 10, 15, 20 or more years, you probably will see fewer cars in downtown areas, and you're going to want to see more pedestrian-friendly spaces. And that's actually what we're creating around the Alamo, is a pedestrian-friendly space that takes into account all of the issues with preservation and, in addition to that, security and safety as well for the visitors.
Back to the phones. John. Hey, John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I just think that the architects ought to incorporate misters on the perimeter of the new footprint. And misters are just taking water, and you see them in restaurants occasionally outdoors. Since we live in hell hot Texas, I would like to see perimeters and misters incorporated in the big master plan. They can hide it with vines or whatever they want.
All right, John, good idea. And it's going to get hotter, by the way, according to our climate scientist. Would misters be a problem, Brian Preston?
I don't think we're looking at things into that level of detail yet, materiality and misters and things like that. We are certainly looking at shade and using trees to provide shade.
There's a lot more shade in those photographs and images.
There's a lot more shade. Yeah, we've listened from the input we got last year. There's a lot more shade, and we're using shade in a couple of different ways. We're using trees in a couple of different ways.
It seems like right now Alamo Plaza is a heat island.
Absolutely. Yeah, it just radiates.
Downtown is a heat island.
Yes.
Yeah, so Roberto Trevino, is that, y'all are looking at that?
We're absolutely looking at it. In fact, I can tell you that the data shows that in the hottest part of the year and times in downtown, shade can help reduce the temperature by as much as 14 degrees. So that is what we're looking at. We definitely have more shade. We're looking at ways to mitigate the amount of heat in the plaza, in the area. But as I said, I think it's going to be a great example that we're setting for all of downtown, because we need more of this heat mitigation strategy for all of downtown. We want to make downtown a safe, walkable area and a comfortable area. And so the things that we're incorporating are addressing some of the most basic strategies for comfort. And the misters, you know, I would say that, as Brian pointed out, we're not at that level of detail, but I wouldn't discount that. I think that the shade is probably going to be the biggest factor.
Well, misters or no, but water is going to be part of the story that is told at the Alamo, a big part of San Antonio's story. We had the acequias that were there and its connection to the river. We'll be talking about that and the connection to the native peoples. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break, and why it's important that we include everyone's take on the history of San Antonio and their place in the history here. The number to call in if you got a question or comment, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Alamo, what's the plan, particularly when it comes to remembering and honoring the native history of Texas? I mean, before this area was settled, we had native peoples here, and then it was a Spanish mission. So how is that being incorporated into the overall plan? Roberto Trevino, District 1 council member.
Well, it started with the Alamo Plaza Advisory Committee and the vision and guiding principles. And we want to make sure that we're embracing all the history. We want to tell all the stories. And, of course, as we've been going through this process, we've been very careful and to provide some support to the sensitivities that we know exist on the site. So we've done a lot of careful archaeology. We still need to do more. Some of this work is not just to address the sensitivities of the archaeological finds, the buildings themselves, but as well as what we know as the Campo Santo and some of the burial grounds that we know are sacred. And so we're very cognizant of these issues, and we want to make sure that we are sensitive all around as we're developing the plan. So earlier we were talking about, as an example, of lowering the ground. We're lowering the ground plane because the city over time grew up over that. But we're not lowering it so far that we're actually getting into the archaeology. So we want to protect and maintain that as much as possible. The lowering of that is really to establish a timeline. Most people don't realize, but the church itself is the front entrance is below ground by as much as 18 to 24 inches. And that's actually damaging the building too. But as we come into define some of this, we know that this is a sensitive archaeological site. There are some sensitivities that we're very grateful. We've had some great people on the Citizens Advisory Committee. We've been working with Ramon Vasquez, American Indian Group, and making sure that we're addressing these important issues as we tell beyond just the mission story. So we know this was not just the 1836 battle. This was a mission San Antonio de Valero, but even before that, this was a very, very important site to Native Americans.
Brian Preston with the GLO office, the Native Peoples?
Yes, just wanted to echo what Councilman Trevino said. We are speaking with them. They're on the Citizens Advisory Committee, and we're taking all of that into account. We know, probably as well as anyone, how sensitive this site is going back beyond 1836 into the mission period and before, that this was an important site for many, many years. And so we're taking all of that into account. And for folks who haven't been to the Alamo maybe in the last few years or the last 10 or 15 years, we're already taking a lot of that story into account now. If you go read the wall of history that's out back next to the church behind the Long Barrack, its history doesn't start at 1836. Its history starts actually at 1718. And we could take that history back farther. further, because we know that there's evidence of occupation of the site farther back than that. But the history starts at 1718, because that's when the Spanish mission first was established on a different site that was Mission San Antonio de Valero. So we are taking all of this history into account, with its apex at 1836, and then, of course, the history after that, when it was used as a fortress from 1846 and beyond to 1876.
And then it was used by the Union troops,
yeah.
And we had Twiggs surrender. It could have been the very launch of the Civil War. It could have happened right there. Lots of history happened at that location. So let me go over to Vincent Michael, Executive Director of the San Antonio Conservation Society. And there are some issues about the fencing around the Alamo Plaza. No more glass walls, right? Those are gone.
Yeah, the glass walls have been replaced by fences and bushes. But I think that's one of our big concerns, and we've been circulating a petition online just to make sure that this place remains connected to the city, that people are able to use it. It's every San Antonian's right to take a selfie in front of the Alamo late at night, and I think we want that connection to the city. So we're concerned about the fences. And you know, even if there are fences, they could be removed at certain points. There are many different controls you have nowadays, whether it's bollards or other things. So you can have a parade or a procession go through something, but then close it in between.
I mean, but the Alamo Plaza is part of the history that we have for public free speech.
Yes.
I mean, there is activity right now going online. Sign up so that if President Trump ever fires a special investigator, Robert Mueller, show up at the Alamo, you know, things like that. And they don't want to show up and there's a gate that's locked. You know, they want to be able to get in at any time and be able to express their free speech. So Brian Preston, what's happening on that?
Well, we have needs to balance here, because we have visitors who come to the Alamo, not just from San Antonio, which is about 4% of the recorded visitors, but visitors from all over the state and all over the world, actually. It's one of the most famous sites in the world. When I was stationed overseas in the Air Force and folks found out I was from Texas, the first or second thing they always asked me was about the Alamo. And I'm from Dallas. I'm not from San Antonio originally and don't live here. So we have needs to balance here. And we need to balance being able to tell the story properly and accurately and fully through living history and creating really an outdoor museum out there on the historic footprint, with also the needs of San Antonians to move through the site. And we're taking all of that into account. For instance, these barriers that we're talking about are going to be open 2/3 of the time. So if you do want to go and take a selfie in front of the Alamo at night, there's not going to be any impediment to that whatsoever. We're taking that into account. But during the daytime, when the museum is open, we would like to have a managed experience so that when folks come, instead of getting protests and distracting noise, they actually get to learn the full history of the site. And as far as protests go, we're looking at having those happen on Plaza de Valero, which is the southern portion of Alamo Plaza. So you're talking about right there next to where they happen now, but not disrupting the visitor experience.
Roberto Trevino, District 1 council member.
Yeah, I would just add that the site is accessible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's going to remain very porous, and we're working very hard. Part of the effort that we have deployed is to commit to telling the story and to commit to telling the process with as much transparency as possible. So the designers can hear these issues, can see how we can provide a workable solution that helps to provide a way forward. The reality is the site is accessible. It is porous from all directions. As Brian said, that there are some times that the museum wants to utilize the plaza as an outdoor museum, and so we're working for solutions, or we're finding solutions that can help to provide that kind of access to the Alamo Plaza. So I think we're moving forward in a very positive direction. I would point out that earlier when we were talking about the cenotaph, around the same time period, the gardens on the east side were constructed, and then later a rock fence around the east side was built, and many people think that's the mission. You know, in fact, we've proposed that those rock walls get torn down so that there is no confusion. So what we're really trying to do is provide more clarity about the site, provide a way to tell all our history.
Okay, let's go back to the phones with Tim. Tim, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I was not able to listen to this entire discussion. That was very interesting. And I, like many, have opinions about how we should treat this wonderful place that we enjoy in the center of our town. But I was reading over lunch the account in the Express News of the meeting, I guess last night, the public meeting, and I was simply stunned by what they reported as the demeanor and behavior of the audience. That it was, they characterized it as heckling and booing and carrying on like third graders. And it just so pains me to think that we're having a very important discussion about something many people have strong opinions about, that we can't have a civilized discussion. That's just wrong. So I applaud this format, and I urge anybody who participates, go out and enthusiastically express your opinions, but let's behave like adults.
All right, Tim, thank you for that. So you were there last night, Brian Preston. What you saw people, you saw the passion.
Passion is good. Decorum is better. And we need to be good hosts for our guests that we bring in to help us work on this plan. For folks who are concerned, for instance, that some of the designers are English, I would point out that Phil Collins is also English, and he is the most generous benefactor to the Alamo in modern history. 10 of the defenders were also English. 10 of the defenders were Irish. 2 were German. We need to be good hosts as Texans. We need to remember that we're Southerners, and we need to be nice to folks who visit us. And we need to see that. But passion is good. If people didn't care about the Alamo, that would be an absolute tragedy for Texas history. So we encourage the passion. We like the passion. But like I said, decorum would go a long way in helping foster what is the most important preservation project currently underway in this country.
And a last question. We got about a minute left. Roberto Trevino, tell me about the process. Does this input from the public, is that going to help shape what we end up with?
Absolutely, and I think the issue is that, you know, we're really looking backwards as well as forwards, and that's the challenge. This is a very complex project, and as the caller just mentioned, this is one of the most important projects that the city and the state are going to be working on for a long time. And the fact that we're working together on this is historic in itself. But we're committed to an open and transparent process. We're going to have many meetings this week, and there'll be more meetings in July. We expect to have a lot of discussions. We're open to that. As Brian said, we're trying to do everything we can to provide as much information and do it with a decorum that allows for good conversations. And I think that's what we need to have, is some really good conversations about the history, about what we're trying to do for this site, what we're trying to do to tell all the different stories, and to provide some great opportunities to express some of the most amazing history in the world right here in our own city in San Antonio.
So much history. The Alamo is fantastic. The battle there, the sacrifices of the heroes, but of so many more throughout the ages and decades. I want to thank all of our guests. Also a reminder that there is a meeting tonight at the Hardberger Park Urban Ecology Center about this issue. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.